This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yet another Detroit coach snubbed. We've got thoughts on that later in the show. John Jansen's power surge at 8:35, off-season edition, post-draft edition. Where are the Lions? How far from the top are they? Talking youth sports. A lot of you can relate. The pressure to specialize. Tom Glavine saying, run from those coaches who are pressuring your kids to play one sport. And John has continued to push the benefits of playing multiple sports. It's been echoed on the phones and the ticket texts.
So many coaches at the college level, when you talk to them about recruiting, they value athletes that have that are playing multiple sports. And part of it is the skill set that they bring. Part of it is they're always in competition. So you're always learning how to compete, how to win, how to lose, how to deal and manage teammates and teams, leadership. It's all a part of it.
PJ and Canton, I like this perspective. You're a coach and you say it's not all us.
Yeah, it's love the show, guys. I'm a new head coach at Salem High School for wrestling, and we're dealing with not just the coaches that are pushing it, but also the parents, where the parents are dabbling their toe into multiple sports. While the season's going on, I have athletes that are missing practice and missing competition because they have, like, year-round baseball, year-round soccer, and they're not really giving themselves a full opportunity to try the other sports because their parents are guaranteeing that their son or daughter is going to be the next all-pro soccer player, all-pro baseball player, and they're not giving them an opportunity to really dive into the sport as much as they need to.
Yeah, I see that as well. And it during any one season, it could be overtraining.
Yes. Yep.
And it's
a team that issue too, where they're leaving their sport middle of practice, they're missing practices that creates some odd situations and awkwardness with their teammates who they're bailing on to go do another sport. And I want them to play other sports, but when you're in that other season, there's got to be that separation. Because as a coach, I want to support them doing other sports, but just there's got to be a line drawn, and it's the parents that are really pressuring their kid to be a one-sport athlete, but maybe try this, like, dipping their toe in the pool kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah, where if it's baseball season, hey, that's when you are committed to your baseball team. Basketball season, same thing. And I'll bring up Coach Tom again. They do practice during the winter. But he's a big proponent of, if you've got basketball practice or if you're wrestling, that's the season to do that. When it comes time for baseball, we want you to be committed to our baseball team, but you can miss a practice in the middle of winter if you're at basketball practice or if you're at wrestling.
I like getting the coach perspective, though, because we're doing a lot of this. It's the coaches, run from the coaches, these coaches who are forcing your kids. Parents are part of this equation, too. And as a parent, if you're pushing your kid, thinking, and a ticket texter points it out, trying to live through your kid, I've got the next insert great athlete here under my roof, and I'm going to push them to play year-round and train year-round, and they're not going to get left behind. They're going to be the best in their class. They're going to get the scholarship, and they're going to play professionally. Odds are they're not, and you're doing them a disservice. If you listen to some great athletes, you're doing them a disservice by forcing them into one sport. Now, John, if your kid only likes one sport, then they only like one sport, but you still got to be, you know, kind of guarding against the burnout, right?
Sure, you got to overtraining, burnout, and so you can still be training for that sport, even though you're not throwing a baseball or you're not hitting a seven-man sled. You can be in the weight room. Mm-hmm. You could do things like that. I mean, there's this big, you know, fitness push about cross-training. It works for sports as well.
Yeah, you can do plyometrics. You can work on weight training and core training and all kinds of stuff. Ticket, text, and phone call, 248-539-9797. Let's get to Scott in Brooklyn. Scott, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So I was fortunate enough to get a college scholarship to play basketball in college, and I saw all the avenues by being part of a team for 4 years in college, what it helped me to prepare for life. So I'm a member of the Three Girl Club. I had three girls, and I was I ran a youth travel program, travel AU program, from like fifth grade through middle school. And we had a great program, but we would play all year round, right? And then like summer, fall, winter. And I tell you what, to this day, my kids, they don't even want to look at a basketball. My two youngest, they will kind of woke up and like, hey, I'm done playing basketball, Dad. And I was fortunate enough, my oldest played through high school, but when she got done with high school, she was done. And my other two girls, they ventured out into golf. And I'm very, very fortunate that they still love to play golf. But, man, I was that coach that I would schedule training sessions. I would hire a trainer. We would go through all the fundamentals, the training and everything. And I tell you, these kids, they get burnt out playing one sport because it's not only basketball. I mean, we were traveling all over the United States in the summer, and I feel horrible about all the opportunities that my kids missed on during the off seasons, whether it was us hanging out with their friends or doing other things, because we were always on the road. And my kids do not even want to see a basketball. So I was that guy, and I regret it. I truly regret it.
But it's good perspective to share with other people, because I'm looking over at Heather, and you're starting this.
Oh, yeah, and I get everything he said. I understand. It's interesting, because I didn't play a lot of sports either when I grew up. I was in dance, yep, and I was in cheerleading. That's what I did, and they semi overlap, right? The skills can overlap one another. But I remember even in that how hard things were. Like, you couldn't miss. We had practice over the summers, right? You couldn't miss that. My parents were so upset. Like, what? We're going up north to the cottage, and she can't miss a practice. And I get what this guy was saying about pushing them hard in one sport, and they're missing out on other things, yeah, life with your friends.
I don't want to miss
family time.
I don't want to completely throw all of it under the bus, because as a parent who had one that was travel basketball and another one who's in travel softball, like during those seasons, when you are traveling around parts of the country, there are some great moments that they have with their teammates, because yes, they're traveling, they're in hotels, they're spending an entire weekend with, as long as they're a part of a team that they enjoy being a part of. Now you're starting to talk about the politics and dynamics of travel sports. That's a completely different topic. But selfishly, there were times where it was just me and Ruby, and we were in, you know, Louisville, or it's been me and Ellie in another city. You get that individual time with that individual, sure, child that when you have five of them, you don't always get.
I could see that, to the yeah, road trip element, oh, of yeah, it.
I love a road trip.
I, John, I know
which
you
is
know,
exciting for one specific weekend, but when you're doing, sure, it every single day,
and you're living out of a suitcase,
it's way less, yes, exciting, yes, especially when you're a young person in high school.
Yeah, like, you want to have fun
too. Yeah, there's a lot of other things you could be doing.
We got a ton of calls to get to. Try to pick the most interesting. I'll put that pressure on Mark in Rochester. Mark, deliver for us. You're on 97.1.
Cookies. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Just to offer some of my perspective, you know, I played all sports growing up, soccer, basketball, baseball. And I remember my dad tried to put me in travel baseball when I was like 11. And I had a coach immediately try to teach me how to throw a 12-6 curveball. And my dad was like, nope, we're not doing that. And it's like you see all these kids in travel baseball blowing their arms out like the caller was talking about. It's horrible. I didn't end up playing football until I was in high school. And I was able to get to play D1 for the University of Miami for Coach Diaz. And it's like, you know, if you can keep your kids athletic somewhat, you don't need to do the hardcore travel, the hardcore training, you just got to wait until it's time, in my opinion, and lock in when you're in high school if you want to go play D1. I remember I was getting recruited, and I don't want to name the university, but there was a major university that I went to a lineman camp for O-line, D-line, and at the end of it, the coach threw out a soccer ball. A bunch of 300-pound kids just to see who was the most athletic kids, and we played pickup soccer. So in my opinion, just focus on keeping your kids happy, give them a lot of life experiences, a lot of different sporting experiences, and it'll all work out. And if you really care about the scholarship thing, you don't forge that at age 11. You forge it at 16, 17, 18 when they're really grinding.
Yeah, that was my only question, was when you get to the you say 16 and 17, when you get to you're receiving scholarships. You don't have to pick, but if you're a fringe athlete, you're not a pro athlete, you're a fringe athlete, is that where you say, hey, my senior year, I'm going to just focus on doing everything I can to solidify that scholarship?
Well, now you're talking about kids that they're further along, and it is 16, 17, and 18, and they should have a little bit of say in what they like, what they don't like, and how they want to go about pursuing their dreams. When they're 11, I don't necessarily, at 10 or 11, right, we all want to be Major League Baseball players, or we want to be the next, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. And you can have those dreams, but it's up to the parents to make sure that they're well-rounded athletes.
Like, I'll give you an example. It's a guy brought up earlier, a kid that was throwing 90 as a lefty. Let's say instead of being a sophomore, he's a junior. And the only thing that's going to derail him is a fluke injury. Do you just say, hey, I'm putting the blinders on, I'm getting that opportunity in baseball?
Well, okay, so I mean, injuries happen in a lot of different ways.
Right, but do you want to get hurt playing basketball when you have a golden arm and you have this bright future ahead of you?
All right, so you're going to just throw for 365 days a year and blow out your arm?
No, you shouldn't do that either.
So there has to be a happy medium in regards to how you're going about, if you are going to specialize at that point, that's you feel like that's your path to, you know, an education or another opportunity, then that's a decision that you can make at that time.
Yeah, much later in your development, not like you said, when they're 10, 11 years old. Jamie in St. Clair Shores. Jamie, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good.
I'm calling. I'm a former college athlete. I coach college softball. I coach travel and youth softball. And I think that it's too much, too young for sure. I see so many athletes that are burned out and don't even want to play in college, and they're talented. And I think, unfortunately, it comes a lot from the parents at a young age telling them that they have to do this so early. And I think the other side of it is that there's not a ton of opportunities for the athlete who just wants to enjoy playing the sport. Rec has gone away. There's very few options if an athlete doesn't want to be a travel athlete. That's why there's so many teams for every sport, because there is no recreational sports anymore that a kid can just go out and enjoy. So then you get stuck in this travel world where everyone feels like you have to do it year round and put all this pressure on them from a young age. And it's unfortunate, because I believe that the multi-sport athletes end up getting injured less, and that they enjoy it more, and they're the better athletes in their sports that they choose when they go on to play at a higher level.
Yeah, there definitely needs to be an enjoyment. If you're going to be good at anything, you got to like what you're doing. And if you're just, if it's so repetitive, like the one guy that called in and said, it was travel basketball, it was basketball all year long. Like, at some point, does, you know, working on the skills become boring and monotonous, and you're not getting as much out of those practice sessions? So sometimes less is actually more.
Yeah, and there's so many stories from athletes. We bring up the Glavin quote. Ticket Texter says, Jordan famously said when he was 11 and 12 years old, he was playing baseball, not basketball all the time. It's great athletes are great athletes, in part is because they're well-rounded athletes.
Yeah.
Phone calls, ticket, text. You're dealing with this right now, or if you have dealt with it, the pressure in youth sports, it's 97.1.
A personal injury of any sort is, in fact, personal. Injury attorney David Femininio has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is also dedicated to ensuring that you get all the medical care that you need to put your life back together after that injury. You need an attorney who's going to make it personal, and that attorney is David Femininio. So if you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell him to call David Femininio at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Power surge coming up at 8:35. A Scott Harris credit question at 9:02. Tigers keep winning off the yesterday start a series with the Rockies late tonight. And the snubbing continues for our coaches. We'll make time for that in the 9 o'clock hour. Youth sports and the pressure. The mics go off. We keep talking. I thought Tom made a fun point about status. Some of these parents feel like their kids have to go to all these exotic places or tournaments. And then you get the parents who are pressuring each other. Well, are you going to play this season? Are you going to travel with us? Are you going to be part of this? You don't want to be left out, do
right.
you?
Well, my son did this. And you're like, well, I want my son to do that too. I better sign him up as well.
And then you're looking at multiple kids going, which one do I like most? Because I can't afford both. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the equation.
Are you going to the Myrtle Beach Classic this weekend?
It can be expensive.
The Jones family, is he going to keep up? Among all the other pressure, you want your kid to be successful. You also want to set them up for success. Specializing, most people are against it. But you do have parents who insist or coaches that push it. Let's get to the phones and let's get to John in Traverse City. John, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
My son played 4 years of high school sports, played varsity in three different sports from his freshman year through his senior year, played travel baseball, travel basketball. Parents seem to think that their kids are going to be professional athletes. And Gabe went on to play 4 years of college football, 5'9", 195. I wanted him to play baseball, but we let him pick. And he started for 4 years, at Siena Heights and at safety, and he got out of there and he had a great time. But the point I wanted to make, a friend of mine is a orthopedic surgeon, and we went to see him. My wife and I always see him, but he told me that there is no way that a kid should be stuck in one sport when he's at a 10 or 11-year-old age. His body hasn't developed, his muscles, his bones. And he told me, don't ever let Gabe play one specific sport at this age. Make him play them all and get himself in shape. So I couldn't agree more with what you guys are saying. I think it's just very important for parents to realize that as you get along and get into a Division I or Division II school, you are the cream of the crop. There are so many kids that are good athletes. And when your kids get to college, their eyes are really opened as to the quality of the people they're going to play against and play for.
Yeah.
I think that's good perspective.
Yeah.
John, appreciate the phone call.
I'll go to number two.
So squeeze one more in. Yeah. Ian and Lyndon, you're on 97.1.
What's up, guys? Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good.
So kind of before I get started to sort of, I guess, flash my credentials or whatever, I was a strength and conditioning coach at the collegiate level for about 10 to 12 years. Did a small stint in high school as well. In terms of specialization, I'm also a dad, right? I'm a dad of really young kids. But I think the thing that people need to understand about specialization is that there is a scientifically backed, you know, foundation of physical literacy that really needs to happen for athletes to develop properly. So when you have one kid playing baseball, let's use the, I've heard 11 years old in baseball a few times while I've been waiting. If you have an 11-year-old kid playing baseball, which is a sport that doesn't involve a lot of running, certainly doesn't involve a lot of cardiovascular need. Shout out CC Sabathia.
Bartolo Colon on standby. Yep.
Bartolo Colon, even worse. You know, when you have an 11-year-old kid just chucking baseballs, one, the underpinnings of your aerobic development never happen, which is not a good thing just for being a human,
right,
in general, let alone an athlete. On top of that, yeah, you get the significant overuse of throwing way too much. I mean, pros throw way too much, looking at a physical standpoint. Put that on an 11-year-old kid, which I'm so glad, you know, the previous caller talked about orthopedic issues and, you know, structurally kids are not prepared, right? So you're looking at injuries that way, but then also, when they do get older and, you know, they get lucky enough to play at a higher level, they don't have the physical literacy to keep up.
Ian, I think it's a really good point. And I like that we were able to go back to back here with an orthopedic perspective and a training perspective on this, just because it puts you into a well-rounded category to be successful if you are playing multiple sports and avoiding some of those pitfalls. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, for the first time in more than 85 years, the NFL draft is going to be headed to Washington, D.C. So the announcement that D.C. will host the draft in 2027 was made by the president at an event at the White House. Roger Goodell also released a statement saying that they're excited to bring the 2027 draft to Washington, D.C., a city rich in history and national pride. So this will mark the first time that the nation's capital has hosted the draft since December of 1940.
Wow.
They are going to shatter the records that we set.
Well, for sure.
They just have the space there, right, at the you know, National Mall there. They can put a million people on day one if they want.
Oh, yeah. They can have so many great events there with that space and the setting that it is with all the monuments around them. I think it's going to be... this is one, when it came out yesterday, mm-hmm, Lisa and I talked, we may want to actually go to this one.
Well, you've done big scene there, right?
When, I was there at Y2K.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
99
yes.
to 2000, when everybody's computer was going to die.
Everyone was going to die, right?
Oh, yes.
It was
yes.
The end of the
world.
The world
was ending, yeah. It was,
what was it like there when the world was going to end?
Unbelievable. We thought there's a possibility all the lights go out.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't. It was a great concert. It was a great event. Fireworks were amazing. It's a perfect setting for an event like this.
Yeah, that's cool. Did you hear about this guy, this fan of Shedeur Sanders, that is now suing the NFL?
No.
Suing the NFL for $100 million for emotional distress and trauma.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, he thought that Shedeur was going to go maybe in the first round of the draft. Okay, not the first round. Then he'd go in the second, right? And he had to wait all the way to the fifth round of the draft. And it was emotional, distressing for this man.
Can he show his work on how you get $100 million of distress out of that?
Yeah. I don't think so. But he's going to represent himself in court. I did read that somewhere. But on top of this huge lump sum of money that he wants to get, he's also wanting the NFL to release a formal acknowledgement.
Oh,
like, God. Basically... an apology, I'm taking it as.
To him or to Shedeur?
Regarding the emotional distress caused by their actions and statements to the public.
Oh, to the public.
Yeah,
to everyone that was emotionally distressed.
To everybody that was involved in the
process. How about all those kids that had to wait to the sixth or the seventh rounds? Or how about those kids that didn't actually get drafted?
It's crazy.
Bizarre.
I know. The Baltimore Ravens released kicker Justin Tucker on Monday. He was with the team for 13 seasons, but they say it was a really difficult decision, a football decision that had to be made.
Nothing to do with the 16 women
yeah, exactly.
That are accusing him.
He has denied all of those accusations. He says, you know what? They're not true, simply not true, he says, but of course they're ongoing.
But to ignore that if you're the Ravens? Look, you can make it both. Performance wasn't good enough last year, but it's odd to just completely...
And they drafted another kicker in April, so they had that going for him too. So.
Okay.
Somehow, a seven-year-old boy drove his little sister 9 miles to get to a McDonald's. They wanted
They're
a
hungry.
Happy Meal.
Yeah.
Super hungry. This was in Utah. Police were first alerted to a reckless driver, 8 a.m., April 27th, and they decided not to pursue the vehicle because the caller said, it looks like it's a young child behind the wheel. The boy, who was driving his mom's car, finally came to a stop, hit this like parking strip, so police pulled up next to him. His five-year-old sister was in the car with him. They had money to get a Happy Meal. Neither of them were hurt. Nobody else was hurt, which is pretty incredible that this little kid was able to see and reach the gas pedal and steer all at the same time. It seems incredible. The mom only found out that her kids were missing when the cops called her.
Oh, boy.
Not
a good look.
No. And told her, you know, obviously.
Wait, where are they?
They were new. Oh, yeah. What she said. Yeah. Huh? She's got four kids. It's not like... a ton of them, but either way, like I would have been so embarrassed.
It's not like a ton of them. Four is a pretty good amount.
Well, I meant in comparison to you.
Oh, yes, the one less.
One more. Well, that makes all the difference.
She's like, I sent them out to get food. Are they back yet?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Obviously, the little kid's not going to get in any trouble with police because he's a child. But mom says that she's going to make the kid perform community service style jobs for their neighbors as a way for him to serve time. Ooh, I would be
hopefully
very,
she will participate
as
well, so she knows where her kids are.
You might want to put a lock on the door or some sort of alarm.
It's Heather with the news. The power surge is next. 9 o'clock, Scott Harris. How much credit does he get for what's going on here? We're going to rewrite that story. It's 97.1.
America's favorite place to watch all sports. Football season right around the corner. We got great baseball going on right now. That place is Stadium Swim, and it's located at Circuit Resort and Casino. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. It's located at Circuit Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircleLasVegas.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm, I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's a good check-in to see where the Lions stack up. John, you put them fourth in the league. I agreed with you. I had him fourth. I think Tom said about the same. Put them in fourth behind Buffalo, Philly, and Kansas City. Not in that order. You had Philly number one. We asked why. Why? What's holding the Lions back? 248-539-9797. Let's hear from some people. Brett in Rochester. Brett, good morning.
Hey, guys. I don't know much. But I just don't hear a lot of talk, and I'm surprised at the impact of having to replace Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn and a handful of other assistants. That was our identity that carried us through all of those injuries, was we scored the most points in the NFL. So it's not like we lost like a pretty good guy. We lost the best offensive coordinator in the NFL. So I don't know. That to me is a big piece that I know we're looking at the roster and, you know, where who we'll have to contribute. But to me, that's where my eyes go at first. And the biggest question mark for me is, you know, who do we have now to replace him? What's our offense and defense going to look like?
Brett, I don't disagree with you. I think that there is going to be an adjustment period with John Morton now calling the plays offensively, and obviously Kelvin Shepard defensively. But I will say this, in terms of, yes, I do think there's going to be adjustment period, but I think it will be a little bit muted, I might say, because Kelvin Shepard was a part of that defense, very aware of what the strengths and weaknesses are. Now, does he have the skill, the ability to be calling those defenses? That's going to be the big question. But I think in terms of familiarity with the guys, and then offensively, John Morton was here a couple of years ago, but let me ask you this question. Do you think this is more Dan Campbell's offense that Ben Johnson was operating within those parameters, or is it more Ben Johnson's offense and Dan's just the head coach?
I hope you're right. I hope the first, right? Like, that's best case scenario. So to me, I love Dan Campbell. I love what we did. I would love nothing more than to just in Chicago and we continue to roll and that muted period you're talking about, all of those things are best case scenarios and they're very possible. I'm just the other side of the coin would be, it reminds me a little bit of like when Philly had to replace both their offensive defense coordinator and Sirianni had to act quick on that, which I totally get. I hope it goes.
So Brett, what I would say, and it sounded like we're losing you a little choppy at the end there. Philly replaced their coordinators 2 years ago, and it didn't go well. And you know what they did last year? They brought in two coordinators to replace those two coordinators. So
they won a Super Bowl.
It's just incumbent on getting the right guys. He used the word identity, so I want to fixate on that for a second. I don't think the Lions are going to lose the identity of this football team with their coaching changes because they promoted guys who were here. Morton, not last year, but earlier in the Campbell regime, and Shepard directly from the assistant position. Campbell's opening press conference, I think it was his opening press conference, he's asked about what kind of football team he wants to build, and I thought it was interesting, I'm paraphrasing, he highlighted how they're going to put their best players in position to be successful. Like, in other words, his scheme is have good players and put them in positions to be successful. The personnel on this offense, specifically, because he was concerned, hey, that's the number one offense, what if we take a step back? The pieces on that this offense are still there. St. Brown's an all-pro. The offensive line should once again be one of the league's best. J-Mo's coming off an explosive breakout season. Laporta, I think people were sleeping on. He had kind of a step back in year two, is still a frontline tight end. And they have both backs. So X's and O's, I mean, they'll be a little different in terms of maybe some sequencing. But the plays are the plays. The players are the players. I still think they're going to have a top five offense.
I also thought that the last caller, when he brought up the fact that if it's not going the way Dan Campbell wants, not waiting for an entire year like Sirianni had to do to make a change is, I think we do have an example of that.
Two of them.
His first coordinator was Anthony Lynn. Didn't like how that was going, so he didn't fire him. He changed his responsibilities, and Dan Campbell took over play calling.
And he's not only made that one switch, he let go an assistant coach, Pleasant, at one point. So, I mean, he's willing to make in-season coaching changes if it's not going well.
So, of course, the coordinators are an unknown. I mean, and people like to point out Philly from 2 years ago, and you obviously just pointed out that they just reversed. They did the same thing, and then they won.
It worked, yeah.
I think people look at that Philly thing, and they just directly equate it from 2 years ago because we're in the same conference. They're they're
top dog
as being ahead of us. But I think the coordinator is going to matter. I believe people are circling the loss of Ben Johnson, and that's going to be the bigger deal. And I completely disagree with it. It's not the loss of Glenn, but it's the guy stepping in his shoes. And we did this when the Super Bowl was over. The recency history in the last 7-8 years in the NFL is a defensive coordinator with a super polished resume has either reached the Super Bowl or won the Super Bowl. Some of the names, Spagnuolo, Fangio, Jim Schwartz is a respected defensive coordinator. Yeah. Yep. These guys were failed head coaches who became defensive coordinators again and have gone on to have really good success. And we don't know. Bowles is in that group too, by the way. We don't know if Shepard's in that class. We're just going to have to wait and see. But to me, that Dan Campbell's hands are on the offense. I know I'm the one that gets criticism. I think the Ben Johnson effect is overrated. I do. I really do.
Well, I think some of this goes twofold. You feel like you got a coach on offense in Dan, and you feel like you have the personnel. I think there are bigger questions on both levels on defense. I mean, the personnel. You talk about Terry Arnold in year two. Hey, I'm fingers crossed, but that's a question. You talk about, hey, I got one flamethrower on one side of the line of scrimmage. Fingers crossed that Marcus Davenport can stay healthy. Like, it's two things. It's the unknown of, hey, I don't have a Fangio or a Spagnuolo. I also don't know that my personnel on defense, I know, is not on the same level as my offense.
Yeah, and I mean, you're going to have players offensively, and I'll go back to what Tom was talking about in regards to people want to make that connection with the Eagles head. So if they're going to make that connection, then does that guarantee that we're Super Bowl champs within 2 years?
Right.
Like, so you've got to go down that whole list of what the Eagles did, where they ended up, and maybe there is pain for a year and they don't have as many wins. They were still a playoff team, and I expect that Dan Campbell will make those in-season changes if it's necessary. And again, that's a big if. We used to be talking about big ifs if this individual plays way above their head.
Right.
Now we're just simply talking about the players are there. The talent is there. Now it's a matter of the leadership. And I don't think we question Dan Campbell's leadership.
No. Texter says, the Lions beefed up their front. You just don't care because they did it more on the interior. I said in comparison to Buffalo. So Detroit added a defensive tackle who we liked, Tyleek Williams, in the first. You want to go through what Buffalo did again? Joey Bosa in free agency. I must have missed that move for the Lions. And then was it three defensive linemen for Buffalo in their first four picks? We didn't see that level of investment in the D-line from Brad Holmes the way that they saw in Buffalo.
Yeah. Third, and fourth is what they...
Yeah, but we're comparing these two. So if you got Buffalo a slot ahead and they're going 3 of 4 on the D-line plus Joey Bosa, I mean, we know, hey, that's how you wreck games. That's a Super Bowl contemporary, a contender that said, we're going to make sure we address it and address it thoroughly. I think there's still a concern that the Lions haven't addressed it thoroughly.
There also needs to be a measure of, okay, these are second, third, and fourth round picks that Buffalo added. I don't think anybody's going to look at Deion Walker from Kentucky as pick 109 as the secret to Buffalo's success.
No, you could argue
depth pieces.
That teams 1 through 4 in your power surge, none of them made a big splash this free agency, right?
Correct.
Chiefs didn't. Eagles didn't. Bills didn't.
No.
Lions didn't.
Right.
None of them made a big splash. So you got work to do to climb this ladder, but you're in the thick of it. Mm-hmm. All right. 9 o'clock hour right around the corner. JB Bickerstaff, how does he not win Coach of the Year? This has become a theme. We'll do it at 9:35. Scott Harris question next, 97.1.